Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's time now for Light for the Pathway with W.A. Thompson.
And we greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus as I prepare for today's message on the book of Genesis chapter 22. I think of the fact that there are things that we must leave behind. There are choices we must make in choosing to leave those things that are in yesterday or learn from those things of yesterday. There are a lot of people who want to live in yesterday, in the past. They won't move forward. And there is a tendency of this to be the case the older we get. I noticed that about cars that and people are in the dress styles. I thought that when I was a teenager, we would come up with various fashions, that we had come up with something new. And lo, I look today in magazines and I see those eras. I study some of the things that took place a generation before I was born, and I see they were doing things, wearing things many times very much like that which we were wearing. The collars on shirts and the types of clothing, nothing new. One generation comes along and feels we've discovered something. We have something here. And if they would go and look in the history books or in the magazines and old newspapers, they'll see, yep, that's the way it is. And so many people want to live in the past because they felt so comfortable there. You know, when you look back in the past and live in the past, in this present day, you live on those pleasant moments. You have a tendency to live when things were right. You know how they're going to turn out because you've lived through them. And if they've been difficult times, then you can still talk about how difficult it was. But at the time you were going through it, you didn't know how you were going to come out. And another thing is that there are people who live in the past, and it didn't turn out right for them, and they are still trying to fix it in today's society many years later. And they are still angry. They're still bearing the same emotions they brought from the past, that painful experience. They're still trying to fix matters. And it doesn't work that way. And when they can't fix it, they have these bitter feelings. And the bitterness runs in their lives and ruins and directs and destroys them. That's what happens. Well, you know, the Christian is to forget those things which are behind and look forward and press forward to the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There are things we need to learn from the past. We ought to be learning from the past, but we shall not live in it because we have this book. But the book is the Word of God has an eternal freshness about it. It's eternal. It's the eternal Word of God. Forever, O Lord, is thy word settled in heaven. Psalm 119, verse 89. The words of the Lord are true and tried and tested, and this is God's book. We live by it. Saints down through the ages have laid hold of it and found it very fresh to them. When I was brought to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ back 28 years ago, the Lord blessed my heart with this blessed book, and it was so fresh and so good, still good. Only time it's difficult to deal with it is when you don't want to do what the Lord is telling you to do. When you don't really, and if sin comes into the life, it'll destroy your joy and your love for serving and living for the Lord. So you want to get that fixed. Don't let sin keep you away from that which is good and godly and saintly. Sin is a terrible thing. It'll make you live and drink bitter cups after bitter cups, cups of bitterness, day after day. And that's going to affect you. Our Heavenly Father, we pray thee to bless the message today, and I ask for the power of God to minister thy truth unto these who've come. This, dear Lord, I ask in Jesus' name, for we know not to whom the message will go, to whom it will go, but thou dost. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, here we want to continue In the book of Genesis, chapter 22, the scriptures say, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham." Now, how did he tempt him? As we pointed out, the Lord tested Abraham. He was not provoking Abraham to sin, because in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 13, the scriptures say, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." So the Lord does not tempt you or me to sin. He tests us. We are purged. The fire burns away the dross and leaves the gold, leaves the pure metal. So the Lord proves us and gives to us a single focus, and we have a very definite purpose. We understand what life is all about. You know, you find people, they want to hoard everything they can get until a time comes, a disaster comes, and they have to save certain things. A fire comes up. What are you going to save? Well, we want to save ourselves, want to save our families. Get out of the fire. Many times whenever the news cameras are interviewing people who have been through a tornado or hurricane and that has wreaked devastation upon the particular area, they will say, "I lost everything, lost everything." No, you didn't lose everything. You're there talking. The Lord still has given to you, unless, of course, if they're talking about all of the family is lost, separated from them, then it's not lost, because those who know the Lord are with the Lord in heaven. But, you know, the Lord shows to us what really matters. And I've often used this illustration. Years ago, when the people were moving from the east to the west in those covered wagons, they would pack up everything they had, put it in the wagon. And many times they had many heavy objects that would weigh the wagon down and overcrowd the space. And the animals would be hitched to the wagon, the family loaded in the wagon. They'd start off on their journey, feeling like they had to have everything that they were living with on this east coast. Moving west, then as they traveled, the covered wagons and the animals began to tire, and they began to grow weary of this long journey that they had, traveling all day and resting. "We don't need this anymore." "Well, it's valuable." "Yes, okay, we'll make the choice. The animals will be pulling the wagon, or shall we get rid of this heavy object?" And so along the way, you'd see the things that were less expensive being thrown away or set by the wayside. And then as they went on traveling further west and the journey grew longer, then those things that they thought were so valuable they couldn't part with at the beginning, "Well, we'll get rid of that." And we have a clear illustration of that in the scriptures and the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 27, in which sailors are on board a ship that's in a storm. First thing they want to do is, let's throw over the cargo. It's not ours. You know, we have our lives here weighing in the balance, and we want to right this matter. So let's get this ship high up in the water and throw this heavy cargo overboard. And that wouldn't help. After a while, they started using their own hands and tearing out the other parts of furniture aboard the ship to get the thing up on high in the water. And then they were ready to abandon the ship themselves because they knew the ship was going down. And that's the way it is in life. The Lord lets the storms come to show you what really does matter. Notice also that in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, the Lord says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So the scriptures tell us again, why the Lord allows trials to come. And many times we are deceived into thinking, and now I'm talking about those who people who will get on the television programs and the radio programs and tell you, if you're living for the Lord and living right, everything will go well for you and you'll be blessed and prosperous. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible doesn't teach that. When you live godly in Christ Jesus, you're going to suffer persecution. That's what God the Lord says. And then there are those who will say, well, if you live right for the Lord, you won't have any enemies. No, wait a minute. Please listen. When you are brought into a place to where you've made the Lord of your life, and you've made His word your guide, and you've made His people your people, and you've been washed in the blood, of course, that's the way you are made a part of His family, and you want to live a separated life unto the Lord, you're going to find trials. You're going to find difficulties. You will find that there will be much grief in this world, because this world is no friend of the Lord Jesus. And don't deceive yourself into thinking that if you'll just get it right, you'll be happy all the time. No, if you'll just submit to God's will and find out whose side you're supposed to be on and who you're supposed to be pleasing, when the Lord lets trials come, you can say, that's all right. My Heavenly Father watches over me. The Lord is faithful. Great is His faithfulness. It hurts. Sure, the tears hurt. Sure, the heart is broken. Sure, the load seems heavy. But we are willing to do it because we love the Lord. And He has brought us to such an hour as this, that those who are without Christ may know and see that there is a God who has people who will love Him in spite of having little of this world's goods. You remember the widow who had very little? Just a few coins. And the Lord Jesus, standing with the disciples, noticed, took note of what she was doing, Luke 21, 1 through 4. How the Lord took notice of that. This woman had thrown in all that she had, given it all to the Lord. He knew that. She didn't know He was watching. But He saw what she was doing. Others probably didn't even notice, didn't even think her offering would mean anything. But the Lord saw it. And her love for the Lord was so great until she was saying, oh, I'm just being God's hands and putting God's money where God wants it to be. And now I've done that, Lord. What else do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go, Lord? What kind of service you want me to have, Lord? That was her attitude. The Lord took notice of that. The Lord tests and tries. He prepares us for a higher calling. And every time you pass this test, He has another one for you, moving you into a greater classroom of service. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee, Lord, for this time we have with Thee before Thy throne. We plead the blood. We thank You, Father, for this salvation that is ours. Bless Your people afresh today, we ask in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. You've been listening to the program Light for the Pathway. I'm Willie Thompson in Greenville, South Carolina at 920 Wade Hampton Boulevard, Greenville, zip code 29609. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you.